Hello and welcome to Own Your Health with me, Katie Brindle. I'm very excited actually because the episode today takes us beyond the 100 episodes. And what better topic to be talking about than how to support your digestion? Because this episode is going out to you over Christmas time when it's the key time of year when we start to overindulge. And one of the most important pieces of advice we're given at this time of year is to not overindulge. Not to do it. Not to do it at all. And what is it that we do? We do overindulge. So what are we going to do about this? Because we do overindulge. I did on Monday. So that's what we're going to talk about in today's episode. But before we go into today's episode, let's do a little bit of customer feedback. And do please make sure that if you're watching this on YouTube, hit subscribe. And if you're on any of the other platforms, please comment and share as often as you can, because we deliver this content for free so that we can share it with as many people as we possibly can, because it's important stuff. So some feedback from some of the lovely listeners. Kerry says, thanks, Katie. I'm going to add the brush to my list of ever-growing tools. They really help my circulation. This was a recent episode where I was talking about the wonders of soft body brushing. Lots of people have heard of brushing, but they may not know that actually the softest of body brushes are often the best ones. We've got quite conditioned to sort of brutalizing ourselves in the name of self-care. And often it's not the case. Often it's the lightest, most feather-like touch that actually is going to give us some of the most profound effects. So soft body brushing is brilliant, and it's in a previous episode. Fiona says, I love your tip on vigorous shake. It gives me a very instant boost. It absolutely does. Shaking, so literally just shaking, like a doggy, you know, when they shake, is one of the most important health things that you can ever do for yourself. It's absolutely paramount, and it's free and it's simple, and it's what we do. The body naturally goes into a shake if it's highly stressed, e.g. like PTSD, or you've gone into shock, because the body is literally shaking out the trauma. So we can then, in low levels where the body doesn't do that and it tends to just sort of get stuck and makes you feel a bit sort of exhausted yet restless feeling, you can just shake the body. Just do it with me now. And you'll notice, like this, even from a seating position. Okay, it feels really, really good. Just even sitting down, just doing it right now, you can then go into a full-on body shake as well. But it's really useful and free and brilliant to do. And finally, Donna, she says, I have tinnitus and I did your ear massage exercise. It was lovely. Thank you. Donna, I'm so glad. Now, tinnitus is something which is incredibly common. And there are some really simple things that you can do. I taught on a recent episode an ear massage, which was really useful. There are also these amazing drops. So colloid silver is a very, very ancient remedy that was used by the way beyond the ancient Greeks, actually. They sort of brought it in from other cultures, but it's thousands and thousands of years old, and it's somehow or other managed to sort of go out of favor. And I'm not really sure why, because I use colloid silver for so many different things. You can put it in your eyes, in your ears, on your skin, under your tongue. You can use it on wounds. You can use it for loads of things. And there's a really brilliant brand, which I love to talk about, which is called Active Silver, and they specialize in colloid silver and colloid gold, and they have these eardrops which I use regularly for people. My daughter gets tinnitus sometimes, and the minute I put the drops in, problem solved. And there is also a free fact sheet on this as well, because it's such a common problem. I did a really comprehensive fact sheet on it, if that's useful. We're going to be talking about overindulgence. Now, winter time, according to sort of Chinese self-care, is the season of yin. Okay, so as a result of which, it's absolutely paramount that you look after your kidneys. Now, your kidneys are the storage unit of the body. They're considered to be sort of like the batteries. And like, imagine it like rechargeable batteries. Okay, the rechargeable batteries have to sort of go into one of these little recharge packs, and you sort of switch the power on, and then they just gently charge themselves up, and then you can use them again. Your kidneys are just like that. The problem is that we don't really kind of give them the appreciation that they need. And we tend to deplete them too much, and we don't recharge them. Now, when that happens, all sorts of health conditions will start to manifest themselves. Impairment of sleep, impairment of memory, hair loss, knee pain, tinnitus, as I was just talking about, issues with fertility, going to needing the loo too often during the course of the day, or having to get up in the night. All of those are classic archetypal kidney issues. Also just extreme fatigue. So it's really important to look after your kidneys. And again, there's a whole fact sheet on the kidneys on my website for more information. But it's a really important thing to allow the kidneys their time in the calendar. So the most important thing you need to do at this time of year is rest. and allow the kidneys time, like those chargeable batteries, to just soak up the correct charge so that they're ready to give you all the energy that you need for the rest of the year, which starts with spring. Now, spring starts in the natural calendar on the 4th of February. Okay, that is the beginning of the start of spring. And it's much earlier than we realize. And that's suddenly when all the energy starts moving. And that's when everything that you've stored at this moment in time in winter kind of compresses itself into literally like battery fluid and then is ready to sort of spring into life in the new year. So if that battery fluid is all wrong and you've been sort of overindulging in Christmas time, all the wrong foods and excess amounts of it, it means the sort of battery charge going into your kidneys is kind of all wrong. Okay, so there's two things you need to do. One, rest, and two, eat the correct foods. And if you're not really eating the correct foods, be mindful about it. I was mindful on Monday night that I was doing it all wrong. And I was fairly aware that the next day I would probably have to pay a bit of a price for that. And indeed I did. So what did I do? The next day I paired everything back and got myself back on track straight away. And I did more self-care, more yangsheng. So first of all, try as best you can to have a little rest in the middle of the afternoon. That is one of the most important pieces of care I can give you. If you can't, because many people can't, at this time of year, just please try to go to bed early. As much as you can. That's simple things like don't watch the next episode on Netflix. Okay. Get yourself into your bedtime routine at about 9:30 at night so that you're in bed by 10 and asleep by 10:30. If you've got a late night because you're going out to a party or some nice thing, then make sure that the next day you can either, if you can, have a lie-in if it's possible. And if it's not, that you're not going out the next night. So don't say yes to two invitations on the trot because it's an absolute disaster for your kidneys. And then have a little think about some of the really useful foods and dietary advice that I can give you for ensuring that you're not, if you are overindulging, that you're compensating for it. Or if you can get ahead and try not to overindulge, better still. So what do we do? Number one, your stomach is about the size of a loosely clenched fist. Okay, so bear that in mind when you're eating. So always make sure that you don't fill yourself up with kind of food like the bread basket before the meal comes. Just try and book if you're going out for dinner, for example, and you're starving, go a bit earlier when you're perhaps thinking, oh, I'm not actually that hungry. So by the time you've sat down, ordered the food, done whatever it is, or you've gone around to someone's house, that you're not nibbling and picking on all of the little bitty bits before the actual main course comes, so that you've saved the space for the main course. Okay, so that you're not over trimming around the edges. Look at your food first before you start to get the salivary amylase working inside the mouth. So, and to give your digestion time to process what you're doing. Eat small quantities. One of the things is that as a knife and fork based culture, you can shove quite a lot of stuff onto a fork if you're not being mindful about it. Whereas if you're eating with chopsticks, it's much harder because they're just the nature of the implements. So always make sure that you're putting small amounts of food into your mouth at a time, that you're looking at your food, that you're appreciating your food, that you're not eating mindlessly, that you're not thinking about what you're doing, that you're savoring every single mouthful and you're really chewing your food, getting that salivary amylase going so that you have time to get full. So that you're not overeating because you're looking at vast quantities on your plate. The other thing that I recommend to avoid overindulgence is to really make a fuss of the paraphernalia on your table. So something that I do is I'll have a sort of plate and then I'll put a side plate on the plate and then I'll put a bowl on the side plate and I eat from the bowl. Okay, because it's a much easier way of controlling the amount of food in front of me than putting it all on quite a big plate. It's a technique I learned when I was traveling in Japan. I noticed, because they are sort of famous for sort of very, very good eating habits. And that was often how the table was set. There was a sort of placemat and then a charger and then a plate and then another plate and then a something else. Or often they'd bring things on a little tray and then the little tray would have lots of different sort of dishes on it and the dishes would take up quite a lot of space. So the other thing that I do, if that's not possible, is I make tea. Okay, so rather than having wine, I'll have tea. And then, so that sort of avoids the alcohol thing if you don't wish to drink or it's not your, you know, it's not your thing. So I find that having tea makes a fuss rather than I always find in restaurants that, you know, if you just go for a soft drink, you tend to get a rather boring glass with sort of just water in it. And it doesn't feel exciting compared to, say, a wine glass or a champagne flute or sort of or a cocktail glass. So I will order tea. First of all, it gives you a hot drink, which is good for you. And secondly, there's a paraphernalia that comes with tea if you do it properly. You need your teapot and you need the tea and you need to take the little insert bit out and you need to sort of fuss it. And it also takes up space. So often what I'll do is, if I'm being really careful, I'll put the tea in front of me and then I'll put the food to one side so that the main event is all this paraphernalia going on here. So it gives me a sense of occasion and it gives me a sense of theatre, because your stomach channel opens just under your eyes. For those of you listening, I've just got my little fingers right just on the socket of my eye underneath if I was looking straight ahead. That's where the stomach channel starts. And when people say you have eyes bigger than your stomach, that is indeed true, because it's really important to kind of visually get excited about what you're doing. So if you've got a little bit of food on a massive plate and a tumbler of water, it just feels a bit like, no, as opposed to all the drama that I've just given you, which actually isn't that complicated to do. Then it's about what you're actually putting into your mouth. So one of the other things that I do is, as well as tea, is I have ginger tea. Now, ginger is so good for your digestive system. It's so good for your body, and it's really good for you in the wintertime. So ginger tea is brilliant. It's really easy to do. You just grate a little bit of ginger, and then you put it into a little teapot or straight into a mug, and you just pour hot water. You can add lemon, you can add honey, you can add star anise, you can add cinnamon, you can add all sorts of things to it. But if you don't want to bother with all of that, ginger is the clear ingredient, and it's extremely good at regulating the digestive system. Now, salt. Salt is actually the flavor of kidneys. Now, that doesn't mean slather all your food with loads and loads of salt, but you can add salty flavors into the diet at this time of year, and it's extremely good at helping your body store energy. And that's what it's all about. If you're not storing energy right now, you're going to feel depleted in spring. Now, it may take a couple of years before you start to notice, but during the aging process, and I'm delivering this content as a 52-year-old woman, your energy starts to decline and you will start to feel it. And having a little bit of salty taste will really help you. So that's things like eggs, butter, tofu, and tamari. Okay. I also really, really love drinking miso soup. I find that really, really effective. A high street one that I think is really good is, I think, Itsu do a really good miso soup. I also really love the Itsu Thai udon noodles. That is one of my absolute go-to because it's full of ginger and it's full of lemongrass. And these are like, and it's full of kind of like lots of spices, which then takes me to the next point, spices in food. Now, not too much. You don't want to saturate, but spices create warmth inside the body, which will offset cold. Now, that's a really useful thing. So things like chili and garlic and cinnamon and cardamom, these are all really, really good spices, and they're easy to incorporate into your food. Okay, I also really like cumin and coriander going into my cooking. And I try wherever possible to include spices whenever I cook. And if I'm opting for quick fix takeouts, e.g. the Itsu, I wouldn't be going at this time of year for their sushi because it's cold. I would be going for the udon noodles because they've got loads of spices in them and they're warm. Okay, and that's the fundamental difference. When I'm cooking, which is most days, the other thing that I absolutely swear by and I really recommend is a slow cooker. They're not expensive. You can buy them from Argos. They are amazing. Okay. And it's something that I learned when I lived in France, that as far as I could see in my experience, anyone, please message in if you don't agree with this. Every French woman I ever met had a slow cooker in her kitchen. And many of the French women that I was friendly, well, I'm friendly with, would say to me that for them, a slow cooker is like a kettle to an English woman. So as a British woman, I have a kettle in my kitchen, and I can't think of a house where we don't have sort of either that hot water thing or a kettle. And in every house in France, including Airbnbs, there was a slow cooker, because slow cooking is one of the easiest ways to get really nutritious food into the house without it being a faff. All you have to do is just chuck everything in and turn it on. And that's it. So my favorite is literally either a chicken casserole or a root vegetable casserole if I'm going vegan. And you just add in broth. I love using Herbamir, filtered water, different vegetables, and you just turn it on. And 4 hours later, my God, you just, the whole house, it's just the most amazing thing. And it is so easy to cook like that. It's also a very economical way to cook, because you can use really, really cheap cuts. If you're eating meat or fish, you can use cheap cuts. You can use things actually often which are free. Our local butchers will literally give you the chicken carcasses, and our local fishmongers will give us the fish heads, and you can just put that in and then just take it out. And you've got the most delicious stew. And often you find the cheap cuts of meat, when cooked correctly, are really nutritious. And it's a very economical way of doing things as well. And then at this time of year, it's important to use kidney nourishing foods, because it's the kidney time of year. So this is anything black, because the color of the kidney is black. So black beans, black rice, walnuts, pumpkin seeds, sesame seeds. Goji berries are also really good. Pumpkin seeds are really good. Leeks are really good. Brussels sprouts are really good. And also I eat a lot of cabbage at this time of year. One of my favorite recipes that I eat nonstop. I mean, literally I eat this pretty much every day. Okay. So if you come around to my house and I'm really busy and I haven't really got time to even get the slow cooker on, then my absolute go-to is onion, garlic, a whole load of spices, just quickly sort of dry fried in a pan, sweat the onion and the garlic in ghee, add chopped up cabbage or chopped up Brussels sprouts, put the lid on, leave it to cook, add a bit of herb amir, boom, that's it. And then in my steamer to the side, I'm normally steaming a piece of salmon. Okay, and it is really boring, but I eat it. I love it. It's so delicious. I never get tired of it. It's my sort of bread and butter cooking. Okay, and if I have vaguely a bit more time in the morning, out comes the slow cooker, in go the cheap cuts, and some root vegetables and some herb amir and some filtered water, and that's that. You can add a little bit of corn flour and a little bit of red currant jelly if you want to sweeten it up. And those are my absolute boring as boring, and yet nonetheless really delicious. Everyone eats it, everyone likes it, and it just doesn't require me to think about it. I'll always make sure I keep as many kitchen ingredients in my kitchen cupboards as possible. And I always make sure that in my freezer, which was what was delaying me today because it's just been delivered, so now I get a freezer, I always have those sort of cheap cuts. I sort of buy them in bulk and have them in there ready to go. Okay, and it just works really well. So there we go. That is basically how not to overindulge. And what you should be indulging in at this time of year. This is not about being draconian or judgmental on any shape or form. I do also overindulge because sometimes life just takes over. So the trick that I was sort of saying earlier to repeat is it's about being a little bit elastic with oneself. 50% of the solution is understanding the problem, is knowing that as and when this happens and as and when the late night kicks in with the late night dinner and it's all so tasty, you just want to eat it anyway, or you're caught short, that you've got to then whip it back in the next day. So if you think of it, I've got my hands in prayer for the people just listening. And if you just imagine that one hand, like a clock, has just gone to sort of 5 past midnight, okay, you've gone off track. You've got to draw the hand back into the midnight position, okay? So the more that you just do these little quick things to just fix it back, then your body can go back on kilter quite easily. If you've overindulged and you think, oh, I feel awful, what do I do? I will always do some simple exercises, which I teach you on the social media platforms, just to get the body stretched and moving. And I will absolutely, as bubble, get myself outside and get my steps in the next day. The easiest way, and sometimes even e.g. on Monday night, I walked home because I had overindulged and I was feeling a bit icky from it, and I walked back. So yes, it added another half hour, and yes, okay, it meant that I had a later night, but actually walking back kind of got everything moving through my body. So yes, I was tired the next day, but I didn't feel like I had a food hangover, which is how I feel if I overindulge. It's just not a good feeling. The other thing to suggest is I will always at this time of year use a castor oil compress. Okay, they're available on the website. They are one of the easiest self-care things that you can do. I haven't got one to hand, but basically they are just a piece of material which has got like a bow attached to it, and you just wrap it around the body, and then you put castor oil onto the compress, and you just press it against the liver, wrap it around, go to bed. And you can also attach a second one or the same one and not use the liver, put it on your kidneys. So sometimes I will use two, sometimes even three, because I put a third one on my lower belly. So if I have overindulged, I come back, I put those compresses on, and it will really, really help my body process the overindulgence. Okay, so thank you so much for watching. If anyone has any questions, do please put it in the comments below. Do please share this information with everybody to let your friends and family know that there's a load of content going on here, which is going to help you own your health.